lot of material I want to cover and not a lot of time to do it. So, last Sunday, I was up at South Salem, and I listened to Jack Hafer preach, and I loved his lesson. And I didn't have a lesson done, so I asked him for his lesson, and he gave me his lesson. So I am preaching Jeff Hafer's lesson up here, and it's a good one. So I think we can all learn something from this. The title of his lesson was The Five Things We All Can Do. This pertains to evangelism. This is what we can do to go out and find those who need help to be saved, those who just are looking for something. Okay, this is the five things we all can do. It starts out with prayer. Now, we all know how powerful prayer is. We know how many times we are told in the Bible that we need to pray, how important it is in our Christian life to pray. So I chose one verse to read you about prayer. And this specifically is for us to pray to find others who need help. So, starting in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Speak, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Prayer is pretty straightforward. Just add into your prayer that you want to find somebody and you want to help those who are in need. The second thing, and we all know how important it is, but the second thing is to shine. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it reads, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that when they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We as Christians are to act in a manner that is not only pleasing to God, but impresses others. In a manner where we not only please God, but they look at us and they go, wow, he's got his life put together. He's acting like a mature adult. He's got things all planned out, you know? And then once they start realizing that we talk about God as much as we do, they start putting hand in hand together and they go, maybe I need God in my life. And that's when you find him. The third thing is speaking. It's real easy to mess things up when you say something wrong. I'm pretty good at it. So I got a lot to learn about this one. Speaking. You need to speak in a manner that is pleasing to God and doesn't offend those who you're talking to. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 15, it reads, "We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." I'm pretty good about talking about stuff I'm passionate about. So anything medical, I have a ton of fun talking about it. I mean, guns, shooting, fishing, anything like that, I enjoy talking about it. In the same way, I have that passion, that drive to just throw it into my conversation, small talk. I'll say, "Did you watch that game on Saturday?" We need to involve God in our everyday conversations too. And Jack Hafer said something that I liked. He said, if you want to involve God in your conversation, then it just flows normally. Use the words, "Lord willing." It just shows that you're putting your trust in God. You don't know what your future is going to be like. If one of the older ladies asks me to come over and mow their lawn, I'm going to go, "Well, Lord willing, I'll be there, and I hope I am, but we'll see." So I don't know what my future got planned for me, but God does. So saying, "Lord willing," shows that you trust that God has your life in his hands. So in our speech, this is one way that we conduct ourselves before others. The fourth thing is not as hard as it sounds, inviting somebody. All you got to do is you got to start a little conversation with somebody, or you don't even have to speak to them, and grab a couple of those cards we get out there, and you just give them a card. On the card, it has the location, the picture of the building even, it has the times we assemble, and if you give it to them, you can just say, "Well, you know what, I'd like to see you at church. I'd like to make a new friend. We can go to lunch afterwards. I've been told that Roadhouse is a good pizza," and I'll let pizza steak. But, you know, just engaging in a topic with them. You don't have to go out and preach to them. Some people don't like that. They don't like to be just rammed that you're wrong. Just invite them to come to church and let Larry preach. Hope he does good. Okay, and so in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it reads, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity." Make the most of the opportunity. And the last thing is probably the most important thing. We're a pretty friendly church. If we have a visitor show up, everyone likes to go to the visitor and talk to them. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 47 through 48, it says, "If you greet only your brothers, What more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in James chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, it reads, if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in the good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? To put this into modern day terms and in a good analogy, imagine you got a stranger or just somebody you don't know that well over for dinner. You invite them into your house, you greet them, you say hello, you take their coat, and then it's dinner time. And everyone sits down at the table, including the visitor, and you're at the head of the table, and then you start addressing the family. But you exclude the visitor. So you're talking to the family, how was your day? How was work? How was school? But you don't address anything to the visitor, he's just there. So he's in your house, he's just there. And then after dinner, you clean up his plate, you ask him how the food was, it was great. And then, you know, you go, oh, well, that's good. And you and your family go watch a movie over there. And you leave the visitor in the dining room. Now, no one would do that, but that's an analogy. All right? I don't think that guy's going to come back to your house for dinner. If you leave me at the table by myself with food, I'll come back for dinner the next time, I promise. But that's a separate story. All right? So just remember that when we have a visitor come in, it's scary. They come in here and everyone's friends, everyone's goody-goody with everybody, everybody's snuggled up in the pews or not, but they don't know where to sit. So Jack Hafer gave some good tips that I liked. So this next slide is labeled Jack's Helpful Tips. The first one I never even thought of is just when a visitor comes in, just ask them to sit with you. They don't know if they should sit in the back, if they need to sit over here or over there, if they need to sit towards the front. Just ask them to sit with you. And they don't need to sit right next to you. Just ask them, you can come sit with me. I have a huge old pew to share with you. Another one, just to make them feel more secure, is to share the order of services. So when they come in, you can go, hey, welcome to Discovery Road Church of Christ. How are you doing? So on and so forth. Here's the plan for today. We're going to start out with a Bible class. So they show up for Bible class. It's going to be an hour long. After that, we break for 10 minutes, and then we're going to come back together and assemble for the worship service. And then you explain to them how the worship service goes. You know, we start out with announcements, then scripture reading, then a prayer. Lord's Supper is separate and apart. We sing some songs. Larry preaches. There's a prayer. And then we're done. We'd love to talk to you afterwards. But this last thing, and then you can also offer them information if they have questions and show their kids the Bible classes. But the elders already do that. But the last thing was a pretty cool tip. It's called the 10 to 15 minute rule. And after services, for 10 to 15 minutes, don't go run into your friends to go talk to them. Just go talk with the visitor. And don't make it so much just, hi, welcome to the Covered Road. Really engage with them. Make them feel welcome. Make it feel like they're coming into your home, because this is our home. This is our home, and we want to share it with them. So, that's I like that last tip. I'm going to try doing that. I'm going to try those last 10, 15 minutes after services to go talk to a new visitor, to get to know them. In summary, if you realize all five of these things require no preaching, if you're not comfortable teaching because you don't feel you're knowledgeable enough, just give the card. Invite them. You do have to conduct yourself in a manner that is pleasing to God still. And you need to show that you are a Christian in the way you speak and in the way you act. But you don't really have to go out and preach. I'm not saying you shouldn't if you feel comfortable doing it, but if you're not comfortable, just invite them. Invite them to come to church. So I'm going to read this last scripture, and in this scripture in Colossians, it has all five things that we just talked about. If you'd read with me, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I am also imprisoned, so that I make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how you should respond to each person. That's the end of my lesson. I just took Jack's 40-minute lesson with all these examples and compiled it into 10 minutes, so I hope you guys got something out of that. I hope he kind of gave you some tips and tricks. I'm sure you all already know, and you're really friendly. You already are. I mean, If I bring a friend in here, they get swarmed with like cookies almost. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's Miss Ann. She has really good cookies. But, you know, you're a very friendly church. But just remember that some people are uncomfortable when they come in here. And they don't know what to do. So just help them out. If you're struggling, if you need help, you can just let it be known and come forth. We stand this and come forth.